My guest at this time is Victoria Tunsing. She served as a Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the United States and is a federal prosecutor. She also represents Scooter Libby, the one-time Chief of Staff to Vice President Dick Cheney, who was convicted back in 2007 of perjury, obstruction of justice, and making false statements following the special counsel investigation into who leaked the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame. Her name was actually leaked by Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, but no one was ever charged for that supposed underlying crime. Libby had his sentence commuted by President George W. Bush and served no jail time, but the convictions remained on his record until last week when President Trump issued a full pardon for Libby. And Victoria, thanks so much for being with us.
Yes, and just to start off, there was no underlying crime because right. Valerie Plame was not even covert. It was a farce and a shame.
What was Mr. Libby's reaction to the full pardon?
Well, he was thrilled, except that, let me just tell you, he was under on Percocet or whatever that drug is. The White House called me and asked for his number, and I had a suspicion as to why they were doing that, because, of course, I had submitted his papers months before. But I knew that he was having an MRI, and he was drugged. So I had to call Harriet, his wife. But then by the time the president called him, he was clear enough headed to be most appreciative of, as he described the president's call to him, is most kind and gracious. And the president called Joe and me, too, to tell us. He said, I just signed it. The ink's not dry. But he said, I don't know the guy, but I know he was screwed. Hmm. And when they put the press release out, they cleaned that up a little bit. Not treated well.
What had Scooter Libby's life been like between the commutation and the full pardon? What was the impact on his life that he didn't get the pardon back then?
Well, shame on George Bush for not having done it. This was, Scooter Libby had nothing to do with leaking anything, as we now know, because Judith Miller has recanted her testimony. And George Bush would not give him a pardon to Dick Cheney's, eternal chagrin. And so he couldn't practice law. He had a full pardon. He wouldn't have had to pay, it was $250,000 in fines. Community service, that's part of Scooter's life anyway, so he wasn't complaining about that. But it was just so unfair and unjust in our system that his prosecution even occurred. No underlying crime. The prosecution, oh, by the way, guess who appointed the prosecutor?
I was going to get to that.
Counsel, James Comey.
Right.
So they knew from the get-go, from day one, that Dick Armitage had leaked the information. Now, if it had been a crime, why didn't they just prosecute Dick Armitage? No, because this was a whole case about going after Dick Cheney and the Iraq War. This was a whole political prosecution about the Iraq War. And indeed, during the investigation, before indictment, Scooter's lawyer was told that if he just provided criminal information about Dick Cheney, this whole thing would go away. And as a prosecutor, let me just add, Scooter was indicted on just a he said, he said. It's as if you said something happened on Tuesday and I said Wednesday, and then they decided to indict Scooter because he just differed. He differed with three witnesses, one of which, Matt Cooper, he was acquitted on all the charges from Matt Cooper because his notes didn't support him. Tim Russert is just – it's just too confusing. He's, God rest his soul. But the Judith Miller was left, and she's recanted, saying that Patrick Fitzgerald kept important information from her and in so doing – made her testify falsely. And only after she found out that Valerie Plame had a cover at the State Department in one of the bureaus did she then understand her notes and recanted her testimony. And that's what led to Scooter getting his law practice license back.
What was the justification? I remember that Patrick Fitzgerald was appointed the special prosecutor by then Attorney General John Ashcroft, perhaps at the prodding of Deputy Attorney General Jim Comey at the time. What was the rationale for continuing the investigation once there was no underlying crime detected? You mentioned that behind the scenes it was about the Iraq War, but what was the official justification?
They didn't need to make it. Once these special counsels are appointed, this is what happens. That's what's scary about it. I mean, here in the present situation, Rod Rosenstein did not need, in fact, should not have appointed a special counsel because there's no crime. Well, there's no crime of quote-unquote collusion. And it says when the attorney general thinks there should be a special counsel for a criminal investigation, that's what the guidelines say, words to that effect. When considered there's a need for a criminal investigation and, you know, there's a conflict, then you should have a special counsel. There's no crime. No one can tell me who's alleging Russian collusion, quote-unquote, what the crime is.
We're talking with Victoria Tensing. And Victoria, even folks who think Scooter Libby should have been pardoned a long time ago are wondering whether the timing of this is interesting, whether this is President Trump's way of either condemning the special counsel specifically on this case now, Bob Mueller, the special counsel in general. Do you find that there is a coincidence to the timing of this, given what's going on with the current special counsel?
Now, just tell me, since President Trump has become president, when would have been a moment that allegation would not have been made?
That's a good point.
When? Last summer, when I submitted the papers? The special counsel had already been appointed. I mean, and the people around the president don't know he has pardon power? Do we have to teach somebody, some lawyer for one of the people about the pardon power in the Constitution? I don't think so.
So you don't think he's trying to send a larger message? Is this specifically in response to this case?
As he said to me when he called, I don't know the guy, but he got screwed. And this is part of Donald Trump's personality. He did not like it that somebody got the raw end of a deal. He just didn't like it. And he decided to do what he could do.
What's the larger takeaway from the entire Patrick Fitzgerald, Scooter Libby, Valerie Plame saga? I guess we've touched on it a little bit, but as we now conduct another special counsel investigation, and I would imagine at some point in the future, unless Congress changes the law, we'll eventually get another one over something.
It's not the law. There's no law. This is a guideline in the Justice
Department. Oh, really?
It's the regulation, right. The law, the special counsel, it was killed long ago, only after the Democrats suffered it. It was okay after when Ronald Reagan was having it, but after Bill Clinton suffered independent counsel is what it was called under the law.
Right.
Then nobody renewed the statute.
So Lawrence Walsh was good, Ken Starr's bad, and Bob Mueller's good, and Patrick Fitzgerald was good, apparently, according to them, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't follow the goods and bads, but I don't think any. I don't think any's good. I don't think any's good. I didn't think Ken Starr was good. I mean, it's just out of hand, and there's no control. I mean, listen to what Rod Rosenstein's mandate is to Mueller, to investigate any link between the Russian government and anyone involved with the Trump campaign. Now, under that broad scope, no time limit, nothing.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what the words say.
We were told that it was supposed to be about Russian involvement in the 2016 elections without specific connections to either campaign. And if the tentacles went there, that's one thing.
That's not what it was. It's a counterintelligence investigation. It's supposed to, made this broad mandate. That means a farmer in Iowa who sells rice to Russia and was co-chairman of the Trump campaign could be investigated because he had a link with the Russian government and the Trump campaign. That's it. I mean, it's just despicable.
Last topic. I can't resist. This has been Comey week, and we'll see if it's Comey month. He's already getting some blowback, though, from even folks like Mark Penn, who is obviously very close with the Clinton campaign, and other people who aren't big fans of President Trump, who say this guy's hasn't revealed anything new in this book. He's coming across as sanctimonious, and it's not really helping his reputation much. What's your take on this?
It is bizarre. I'm reading it now. I did not buy it, want you to know. C-SPAN sent it to me because I'm doing a show for them later this week. So I'm reading it, and it's just really bizarre how he goes all over the place. But, I mean, just even in his interviews, one of the first questions from George from ABC Stephanopoulos was, well, where were you on the night of the election? At home, I think. Come on. Do you know where you were? Who doesn't know where they were election night when Donald Trump got elected? And this person who's, you know, involved in all of this and was crushed that Hillary was defeated. He can't quite remember where he was. It goes downhill from there.
Well, the investigation, however, continues. I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about it down the road. Congratulations on getting the pardon for your client after all this effort.
He deserves it. He deserves it, man.
I'm sure it was a wonderful celebration for all of you. Thank you so much for your time, Victoria, as always.
Sure, Greg. Bye.
Victoria Tunsing, she served as a Deputy Assistant Attorney General, a federal prosecutor, and is also counsel for Scooter Libby. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.